Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
As we are making our way through the book of Acts, we come now to chapter 20, verses 13 and following, which records Paul's travelogue, we might say, between Troas and Miletus. Now, that doesn't sound very interesting, but there are some things there that I think are worthy of consideration. But it is not a highly charged section of God's Word, to be sure. But the Holy Spirit of God has included it in the Bible for a purpose, and therefore, let's not just completely skip over it, but let's take a look and see what the Lord may have for us there. And so we're tracing Paul's third missionary journey, and he's now on his way home, but he's not just going home, he's ministering along the way. And we are taking note of some of the things that he did and the places where he ministered as he was returning to Jerusalem, and then eventually back to, his intention was eventually to get back to Antioch, his sending church. However, because he was arrested in Jerusalem, he didn't make it back to Antioch. So that's where we're going on this Sunday, December 7. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so very, very much, you who help us financially maintain this ministry on this station. All right, here's what happened when Paul left Troas. Here it is, Acts 20:13. Then we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, A-S-S-O-S. There, intending to take Paul on board, for so he gave orders, intending himself to go on foot. And when he had met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. We sailed from there, and the next day came opposite Chios. The following day, we arrived at Samos, and staying at Trigellium, the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Well, there you've got it, in verses 13 through 16. Now, what have we got here? Well, I took the time to get a map and to put it in front of me for this particular segment of the Beacon Broadcast, and so this will help me as we trace these movements. Going back to verse 13, we read, then we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, or Assos, however you pronounce that. The nice thing about pronouncing biblical words is that for the most part, nobody knows how they were pronounced in that day. We have words today that some people pronounce one way, some people pronounce another. We have words that are identical in spelling, say, and I'm talking about cities and locations, to cities in Europe. They were obviously named by European immigrants for their home city back in Europe, and yet in America we pronounce it different than they do in Europe and so forth. So there really, in many cases, are no ironclad standard pronunciations. So we don't have to get too hung up on that. What we need to do is to concentrate on what is before us. Now, here we have the missionary team sailing from Troas to Assos, Paul walking from Troas to Assos. Well, that's interesting. How does that figure into the journey? Well, if you had a map before you, like I do, you see that Troas is on the northwest coast of Turkey. Assos is also on the northwest coast of Turkey, a little bit south of Troas. To sail from Troas to Assos, you would have to sail around a... I don't know if we'd call that a peninsula or not. I suppose we would. It's not a very long one. But around a coastline that juts out into the Aegean Sea. But the course would actually take you from Troas west out around the coastline and then back east, even a little bit further east than Troas. So the journey by ship is going to be a whole lot more miles than the journey by foot. The most direct route would be by foot or by land, by foot, by carriage, by horseback, whatever, by land. It would probably be, and this is just a rough estimate, would probably be at least half the distance and maybe even only a third if you're talking in terms of linear distance, miles. Now, obviously, the missionary team was all on board, and they, let me put it this way. The team was utilizing the ship to get them where they were going. So it really wouldn't be very wise for all of them to leave the ship and do what Paul did. Then they might lose their place on the ship. But there are quite a few members on this team at this point. Dr. Luke, the historian, is certainly including himself when he says, "And we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos." So, probably at the instructions of Paul, Paul said, "You guys get on the ship and travel around that way. I'm going to walk." Now, that tells me a lot of things about the Apostle Paul. There in Assos, intending to take Paul on board, for so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. Now, it's obvious that Paul did walk, Paul wanted to walk, Paul preferred to walk, but the question that is not answered by the scriptures is, why did Paul walk? Why did he want to walk? Why did he prefer to walk? Why did he insist on walking when he sent the others by ship? Answer is, we don't know. We can only speculate. We can make some observations which are obviously true, and we can speculate about some others that we really have no way of verifying. The first thing that is obviously true is that Paul was in good physical condition and wasn't afraid to walk. If he had any difficulty walking, he didn't need to. He could get on the ship with the rest of them. So in spite of his bodily weaknesses and infirmities and the injuries that he had received, which are many by this time in his life, he's gotten an awful lot of that behind him now. But in spite of all of that, he must be in very good condition to be able to walk, in fact, to prefer to walk when he had a more comfortable alternative. Everybody else went on board. Paul walked. My mind has a lot of questions. Was there anybody else on the missionary team who preferred to walk but didn't because Paul said no? I don't know. I mean, these are things we don't know. Was anybody else interested in walking? Would anybody else have wanted to walk? We don't know. All we know is that Paul walked, and he walked alone. Now, that suggests several things to me, in addition to the fact that Paul is obviously in excellent physical condition, and probably because he did a lot of walking, it suggests to me that Paul wanted to spend some time alone. That's speculation. We don't know why he did this, but we don't find anyone that he visited along the way, anybody that he wanted to talk to, anybody that he was intent on meeting and ministering to, either personally or publicly, in this section of the journey. If any of that took place, we don't have any record of it, he wouldn't have had time to do a whole lot. It would seem to me, from just what I can see on the map here, that he probably had to hurry in order to get to the port of Assos by the time the ship got there. Because, of course, even though the ship is sailing twice as many miles, maybe somewhere between 2 and 3 times as many miles, they are sailing, and they're going to be moving along at a much brisker pace than Paul. When people are walking for something besides a competition or exercise, they generally only cover about 3 miles an hour. And that's a good, pretty, I wouldn't say a real brisk pace, but that's a pretty good pace. You can walk a lot slower than that. But 3 miles an hour. A ship, well, that depends on the ship. But even the slowest ship is going to go 2 or 3 times faster than that, and some, of course, a great deal faster. So it would appear to me that Paul was going to have to hurry if he's walking 3 miles an hour. And I can't see on the map that I've got what the scale here is. Well, I see one down in the corner. Let me see if I can just make a rough estimate of how far this distance is. It looks to me like we're talking about 15 or 20 miles. So it's not a huge distance. Paul could cover that in one day. 3 miles an hour times 8 hours is 24 miles. Paul could cover that in a day. And the ship undoubtedly could cover that in a day. So that's what you've got here. Going back to verse 13, then we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, there intending to take Paul on board, for he had given orders intending himself to go on foot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Miletum. We sailed there, and the next day came opposite Chios. So you see, Dr. Luke carefully records the passing of time, the passing of days, and this particular little juncture didn't take a whole day. They didn't travel from Troas to Assos and then spend the night before they went on. They took Paul on board there, and then they moved on. And we read the passing of a day when they came opposite Chios. So it looks to me like they probably got all the way down to Mytilene before they got to Chios. That's the way it looks to me as I'm reading the text. So this 15 miles, 20 at the most, didn't take much over half a day, let's say 5-6 hours. If they started early in the morning, as they probably did, let's say 6 o'clock in the morning, Paul could have met them there by noon. But there again, the question is, why did Paul prefer to walk? Okay, my first speculation is he wanted to be alone. He had been ministering to people, he had been with people, he'd been traveling with people, and he needed some alone time. What for? Well, probably to pray. You don't have to be in a closed room, kneeling at a chair or at your bed or some other similar posture in order to pray. You can pray while you're walking. I have known people who almost always walked while they prayed. That was their customary practice. That is not mine. That doesn't work for me, but I can do that. If you can get me out walking in a relatively private place, say walking through the woods or whatever, I can comfortably pray while I walk. Obviously, you have to keep your eyes open to a situation like that, or you're going to trip and fall and hurt yourself. But there's really no difficulty in focusing on God and praying. So I'm speculating that Paul wanted to pray. He saw an opportunity to get in some good prayer time that he'd had difficulty perhaps getting before, and we know that Paul was a man of prayer. We know that he spent a lot of time in prayer. And if you are a prayer, you know that you have to fight for prayer time or it gets stolen away from you. If you're not a prayer, you might also have found that out, and that may be the reason why, if you're not a regular prayer. And I would urgently press you to find time to pray on a regular basis and become a regular prayer. But if you are, you know that there will be things that will intervene, and particularly if you're involved in the kind of ministry that Paul was. So he's not in a settled ministry. He's not in the pastorate. He can't set a daily schedule and say, this is going to be my prayer time at this particular time every morning or whatever. He's constantly changing, moving. His schedule is different every day. That's the most difficult situation of all in order to be a regular prayer. But Paul was determined he was going to be a man of prayer. In spite of this difficulty, he didn't let the challenges of his appointed lifestyle, and I say appointed because God had appointed him to this kind of a lifestyle, he didn't let that become a justification for why he couldn't pray. He didn't say, because I don't have a regular schedule, I'm not pastoring a church, I'm not living in a parsonage, I don't have a normal schedule, therefore I can't pray. God knows that. He's appointed this to me, and therefore he understands, and I'm excused. I don't think so. Everything we know about the Apostle Paul and what he tells us in his epistles indicates to us that he was a man of prayer, and my guess, and it's only a guess, is that at least one of the reasons why he wanted to walk was because, and why he didn't want anybody else to go with him, but at least he didn't take anybody else with him, and of course that could mean that nobody else wanted to go. Everybody else preferred to ride rather than walk, but again, my guess is that he said, no, I prefer to go alone, because he wanted to be alone, he wanted to pray. And so that's what he arranged. He saw the opportunity. He knew the geography. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what the possibilities were. He saw an opportunity, and he eagerly seized it. And he said, and I'm speculating, but he said, I think this is my opportunity to spend some good time in prayer. I'm going to walk. You guys go on the ship. Is there anything else that he may have wanted to do? Well, two other things come to mind. Number two, he may have just wanted to be alone, not just to pray, though I think that would probably be the main reason, but he may have needed some downtime to be away from people. I suggest that. I don't know that. Again, speculation. But Paul was obviously a people person, and he has surrounded himself with people, and he preferred to be with people most of the time. He's not a hermit, he's not a loner, he's not an introvert, he's not the kind of person that would prefer to be alone most of the time. He obviously prefers to be with people most of the time. At least he disciplines himself to be with people most of the time, because he knows that's important to be able to disciple people. And so we find Paul with others most of the time. He obviously looks for opportunities to include people to join him whenever possible, but not on this occasion. He had something in mind that required his being alone on this occasion. Prayer being the first suggestion, and probably the most compelling one, but he may just have needed some time by himself. I can profitably spend most of my time with people if I can have some time alone to be away from people, to be alone with my own thoughts, to think, to organize, and of course to pray. So I think that was a second reason. Number one, I think he needed some time to pray. Number two, I think he just needed some time alone. And I'm suggesting that this is probably a good idea for all of us. Now, depending on what kind of person you are, in my first speculated reason for Paul's walking, namely prayer, I use that as an occasion to admonish you to develop a regular prayer life. In my second speculation as to why Paul wanted to walk, namely to be alone, to be away from people, I'm suggesting that that's a good idea for everybody. Now, again, we have different personalities and different makeups, and we are told by people who study these things that most people fall into either the prefer to be with people category or the prefer to be alone category. I don't know what they call these exactly, but there's some people that don't like to be alone. They want to be with people all the time. And then there are other people who don't like to be with people too much of the time. They can be with people for short periods of time, but it wears them out, and they've got to withdraw and spend some time alone, or they are not in good mental health. And the other kind of people, it's just vice versa. If they're too much alone, they go batty, and they need to be with people for them to be in good mental health. Now, this is a fact. This is what studies show us, and my observation would confirm that. I believe this is exactly so. I'm thinking about somebody that I was inquiring about recently, because it's a person that I know, but they're not in our church, but I'm concerned about their situation. And long story short, what I was told was, well, this person has their own place to live, but they don't like to be there because they feel lonely. They're all alone. And so they spend most of their time at our house, which can be a bit of a trial for the people in whose house they are going to. But they view it as a ministry because this person just can't stand to be alone for very much. Now, other people would find that delightful. If they had a place where they could be alone, yes, that would reinvigorate them to be able to be with people. You have to be with people in most work situations, not all, of course, but you have to be with people in church situations, and I hope you view that as a plus. You know, the whole idea of not being eager to be at church is primarily a spiritual problem, but it can also figure into these personality styles that I'm talking about. And some people just enjoy being alone. And they can be content. Just give them a comfortable place to be and something meaningful to do. For if you're wise, it'll be probably reading good books, not wasting your time, all of your hours on television, internet, whatever, entertainment. But just give me something profitable to do, and I'm happy. I can happily be that way. Some people would say for hours and for days, though, of course, I'll need to make contact with people from time to time. These are the two different kinds of personalities. Well, I don't know what kind of personality Paul was, but what I'm suggesting to you is that whichever one you are, you need some of both. Some people might need more private time than others, but everybody needs some. And if you don't recognize that, you're going to miss some things that God has for you. You're going to miss some areas of development. Part of the problem with the world we live in today is it is possible to virtually never be alone with yourself, with God, and with your own thoughts. It's possible. In the old days, that wasn't possible because there wasn't smartphone. There were not smartphones. There were not computers. There were not televisions. There were not radios. And so in spite of whatever you preferred in days gone by, there were going to end up being some times when you were alone in spite of everything, and that's good. We need to get alone with our own thoughts. In today's world, it's possible to always have another human voice, another presence, even if it's an electronic one, with you at all times, which if you're the kind of person who prefers that, it would be easy to fall into that pattern and never be alone. I know people that if I go into their house, I'm certain to find either a radio or television on or both if they're there alone. Why? Because they can't stand being alone. But I'm suggesting to you that you need to learn to be alone. It's good for your mental health. It's more important for your spiritual health. If you're the kind of person that needs to be with people, then I would suggest that you arrange to be with people most of the time, but that you have appointed times when you are alone. You need that. You need that for your spiritual health. If you neglect that, you are going to neglect prayer. You're going to neglect times to think through issues and organize your thoughts. I'm amazed at some people who never seem to be able to make a decision without consulting other people. But this is part of the problem. And sometimes it is wise to consult other people. But this is part of the problem. When you never learn to be alone and organize your own thoughts, then you don't know how to think through issues. And so you spend your whole life bouncing off of others. That's the only way you've ever done it. And after you've talked to two or three or four people about something, then depending on what the majority of your friends recommend, that becomes your course of action. You don't seem to have the ability to make decisions all on your own. That's pretty pathetic, frankly. But I know people that way, don't you? I'm going to suggest a third thing that I think Paul may have been accomplishing here. Again, speculation. This whole thing is speculation. The Bible doesn't tell us why he walked. I'm suggesting some reasons why I think he walked. The third reason is I think Paul welcomed the exercise. Imagine that. And again, a lot has changed from his day until ours. And in his day, most people walked everywhere they went. So Paul did a lot of walking, but it may have been that he felt like he needed a good long walk, that he hadn't really had enough exercise. This was an opportunity to walk, let's say, 15 miles or 20, and a nice long brisk walk was exactly what he needed to tune up his body. And I'm talking to a lot of people that wouldn't even be able to do that physically, but the question is, why not? The obvious answer is because you haven't been doing it. Now, in some cases, it's because you actually have disabilities that would make that impossible, but I know an awful lot of people whose health would be tremendously improved if you would just exercise regularly, and it doesn't have to be strenuous exercise if you would just walk regularly. So many things would clear up. So many problems that you don't even realize are related to this, you would find out are related to this. We live in an age where it's possible to avoid exercise because of what? Well, because we have modern conveyances and opportunities to avoid it. But don't. Now you're going to have to make yourself do it. And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to quit. But please understand how important physical exercise is. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.